The Bible is a very complex book, and oftentimes not always easy to understand. Now, some of you might say, well, David, why do you say that? Why do you say that? Because I thought, and some of you might feel, I thought the best advice was just read the Bible and believe it and do what it says. Now, that's a formula. We'll talk a little bit more about that formula a little later. That's advice that a lot of people give. They just, you know, just read your Bible, believe it, and do what it says. Well, the Bible is not a book. They'll say, well, it's the book. Read this book. Well, the Bible, the Latin word for Bible is ta biblica, ta biblia. Ta biblia means the books, the books. The Bible really is a collection of various manuscripts, some in Hebrew, some in Greek, and a lot less in Aramaic. It was written centuries and millennia ago, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 5,000 years ago. For people far away, peoples with customs and habits far different from ours today. Excuse me. I seem to sneeze every week. Anyhow, there are prophecies, warnings, statements, and, you know, messages for specific groups, teachings for specific groups, for different nations. Some prophecies are for this particular nation over here, not for you, not for anybody else, for that particular nation. For sometimes for an individual, under certain circumstances or various circumstances. There are customs and traditions that are quite different from ours today. You know, one of the customs and traditions, you remember the levirate marriages, that meant that when they were trying to put together, make sure all the genealogies were the same, you know, were stayed in there, that when a particular brother married this woman and the brother died, then his brother was supposed to go into that woman and raise up children for that brother. And if he didn't do it, then the woman would come up and take off his shoe and spit in his face, okay? In other words, it's something we don't do today. It's a practice. I think when I first got married, my brother asked in a classroom that, would this law apply? You know, what if my brother dies? And, well, you're going to have to take his wife and raise up children to him. You know, of course, we don't do genealogies today. We're not worried about genealogies today. Okay. So it's different. The Bible has also many metaphors, analogies, similes that must be understood in order to gain a complete understanding and a sense of what the scriptures say. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, you read here, "For our God is a consuming fire." Now, what is that? That's a metaphor. God is not really a consuming fire, is he? I mean, he's not that, because the Bible has different pictures of him. But one of the pictures, you could say, our God is indeed a devouring, this is from the New English Translation, our God is indeed a devouring fire. Well, is God a devouring fire? He just burns big things up and just consumes everything? No. He can be, but he's not that. That's called a metaphor. Here's another one. And sometimes the different metaphors like this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. "And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light." Now, that's a metaphor. God isn't light just by itself. "And in him there is no darkness at all." Okay, we'll accept that. But what is darkness and light? I mean, is God like the sun? Is he constantly like a sun? There's no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, now again, here it is. Darkness is a metaphor for something. And generally, it is a metaphor for wrong living, mistakes in understanding, and mistakes in behavior. That's what it is. If we walk in darkness. Now, you mean that if we say, if you take that literally and you walk outside, it's dark, it says, then we lie. If we say we have fellowship with God and we take a walk after dark, we lie. You can't take that literally. You see, it's a metaphor. And what is a metaphor? A metaphor is a figure of speech that is applied to an object or a person or an action for which it is not literally applicable. We can't literally take it. It's a figure of speech. So we have a figure of speech about God. He is light, and he has no darkness. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So if you walk in the daylight, you can't take that literally. That's not to be taken. It's a metaphor for something. All right. The use of metaphorical language is very, it could be very complicated, and it is very extended, even in the Bible. We still have familiar conceptions drawn from everyday life. The Bible uses different metaphors, sowing, sow the seed, you know, you sow, reaping, the word harvest is used, animals, birds are used as metaphors. I wish I could soar like an eagle, you know. You're so those who believe in God will soar like the eagles. One that you don't soar like that. That's a metaphor. They are from everyday life, seasons, birds, light, darkness, life and death. These are all used as metaphors. But as the scene shifts from the hillsides of Nazareth and the streets of Jerusalem to the busy city of the Greco and Roman world, these particular metaphors sort of die out a little bit, and especially in today's modern life, you don't use them so often. Okay. Plus, you must understand when the Bible has a verse that you should not take literally at face value. And we'll talk more about that as we continue this sermon. Okay, let's take a look at some metaphors and similes. Now, there are similes. Now, what is a simile? Simile is you're like something. Okay, a simile. Wisdom, here it is from Proverbs 24. Wisdom is like honey for your soul. Okay. There's a simile, okay? It's not honey, but it's like honey. What would be honey? Honey is nice. It's germ free. It invigorates you. It can give you a lot of energy and so on. It's germ free. Listen to this one in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babies, like newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow. Like a newborn baby. You're not a newborn baby, but like a newborn baby. That's a simile, okay? Here's Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. This is from the Bible, I think in Basic English or the Bible Standard Bible. Here it is. The wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. Okay. the wise, meaning the wise people, the people who understand what God wants, the wise. And those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. Well, they'll be like them. See, that's a simile. What's it mean? Similar to that, and they're like that, but they're not that. Here's another one. Like the deer pants for the streams of water. Like the deer who pants for the streams of water, so my soul longs for you, my God. Like a thirsty deer wants water. I'm like a thirsty deer that wants water, but my soul is panting for you. I'm not panting for water. I'm panting for my God. That's Psalm 42 and verse 1. Beautiful statement, as the deer pants after the water. Here's another one, a metaphor. This is now not a simile. This is a metaphor, and you can't take this literally. Jesus now says, this is John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Okay? What does he mean? It's a metaphor. He's not the light of the world. He doesn't light the whole world up. Evidently, people have electricity. They have other lights. They had candles. They had torches and so on. What does he mean? He's the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. So darkness is error. Darkness is bad behavior. Darkness. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus is saying, hey, by metaphor, I'm the light of the world. Follow me. Not literally the light of the world, but I'm not even like the light of the world. I am the light of the world, which is a metaphor. Okay? You have to understand these things. You're going to get a lesson here in today's sermon about how to read the Bible, how to read it properly and understand it properly. Listen to this metaphor. Your word, this is from Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Okay? And a light to my path. Your word, the word of God, the word of what God tells you is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So it's a metaphor of where you're going to walk. If we understand God's word, it's a lamp to us, to our feet, how we walk in truth and understanding. Okay, your word is a lamp, but it's not literally a lamp. You can't take the Bible and say, okay, some it's like lamp I'm going to put in the darkness. It's not going to do that. And a light to my feet, because it's a teaching of how you're going to live. Here's Isaiah 1, verse 18. He's using a metaphor. Though your sins are like scarlet, sins are red like blood, they shall be as white as snow. So now they're going to be like snow. There's a simile. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Just like wool. They'll be white as wool. They're just like a sheep that's got this white wool. That's what they're going to be. So here's a simile talking about how to do that. You understand that. Many of you, you read the Bible, you know that. Here's another one, a metaphor. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Once again, metaphors. Is he literally a vine? He's talking about like grapes. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If we're not connected to Jesus Christ. Many years ago, I gave a sermonette, one of my first sermonettes, with a light bulb. I held the light bulb up and I said, this light bulb, and I tried to put an analogy that it was, that you could draw that it was like us. It lights up, but it has to have a different source of power. It has to have an electrical power to light it up. And once it's got that power, it'll continue lighting. But this power is not in the light bulb. It comes from somewhere else. And I wanted to imply that it's from the Holy Spirit. And so on, the light continues. But the light bulb is encased, and they try to make it encased very carefully in a way that doesn't get oxygen inside that little light bulb. It's actually a vacuum. That's why light bulbs often explode when you hit them. You're boom, a pop like that, because it's in a sort of a vacuum. Why is it in a vacuum? Because the oxygen outside will cause that filament to burn too quickly and will burn it out. And after many times of use, now, you know, they could make a light bulb that'll last 100 years, and they do make some now. It's just so sealed that that the oxygen can't get in there and can't get to it. But I held it up. I said, this light bulb, you know, is trying to be somewhat in vacuum, not allowing the oxygen to get to it. Because if the oxygen gets to it, it's going to burn it out. But this one is burned out. This one will not light, no matter how much that oxygen outside was like a poison to it, and it burned out. No matter how much electricity you put to it, you can screw it into a socket, you can have a lot of electricity, it will not light again. The filament is gone. And what do you do with a light bulb that's gone? You throw it in the trash. It's gone. Yes, we are the light of the world. We are like lights, and we need Jesus, our Lord, to come. So we must make sure we don't have that oxygen burning us out. So Jesus said, "I'm the vine; you are the branches. He that walks with me, you know, without me, you can do nothing." That's right. Without me. Now here's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8: "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your enemy, the devil, roams like a roaring lion." So the devil is like, that's a simile, like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion, but he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The roaring lion wants to find out who can I attack. He's like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And in Ephesians 1, put on the whole, it's Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. These are metaphors. What is the armor of God? That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. You're going to have the whole armor of God. And it tells you the sword, it tells you the head, the helmet, it tells you all these things. These are metaphors. A helmet for your head, the breastplate for your breasts, and so on. Now, there's not literally an armor of God that you put on. These are all metaphors. Okay? You have to understand these. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. So that's a simile. You were baptized, but just as Christ was raised from the dead, you were brought up out of the water to walk in newness of life. Here it is, Matthew chapter 7. This is Jesus' statement. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like, there's the simile again, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Now, you're hearing Jesus' words, and you have to do them. But you also have to be careful, because there are certain words you don't do, okay? You don't take them literally. Now, some people don't like that. They want to take everything literally. Or you're compromising the scriptures, David, if you say don't do it. And I know your deeds. Here's Revelation 3, verse 8. I know your deeds. Behold, I have placed before you an open door. An open door is what? A metaphor, which no one can shut. Okay. What does that mean? Is that we have interpreted as an open door to preach the gospel, an open door, and nobody can shut it on us. If we want to keep going and serving God, he's placed before us an open door. There's an open door for us to preach and teach. Okay. And listen to this one, John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. In other words, to the sheepfold. I'm the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. See, notice the pasture, the wonderful world of the world of what do you call it? The pastoral world, the pastoral world of animals. I am the door to the sheepfold. Okay. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. Okay. But the door is a metaphor. Jesus is not a door. He's a opening. He's a way that you get where you want to go, and he will go in and out and find, the person will find pasture. In other words, he'll find food, he'll find safety, he'll find blessings, just like a cow or a sheep will find blessings in a pasture. Here's Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Thus says the Eternal, stand at the crossroads and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. We're not going to walk in the old paths. And these are metaphors. Stay at the crossroads. What crossroads? Well, the place of a decision. You have to stand at the place of decision and make a decision. And here's Jesus saying, enter by the narrow gate in Matthew 7 and verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. These are metaphors about life. Broad, wide is the gate. Okay. And many enter that gate, but for narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. These are all metaphorical statements, okay? The gate is narrow, the way is hard and difficult, while the other gate is wide and broad and many enter it, but it leads to destruction. So you can almost count on, if the vast majority are going this way, you probably are, there are exceptions with that. The vast majority may know what they're doing, but oftentimes they don't. And Jesus said they certainly don't when it comes to salvation. That gate is wide. It leads to destruction, whereas the narrow gate is difficult. Few enter it. In Matthew 10, verse 16, Jesus said, behold, I send you out as sheep. Here is a simile. You're not a sheep. You're like a sheep. I'm going to send you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as wise as serpents. You're going to be like a serpent. You're going to be wise. You're not a serpent. And harmless like doves. You're going to be like a dove, harmless. You're not going to hurt anybody. But you're going to be wise, and you're going to be as sheep among wolves, because people want to tear you apart. Because you're nice, you're kind, but you're preaching, they think you're an easy target. Okay, so you got to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. That's all similes. Okay, as sheep, you're going to be like sheep. You're going to be likewise like serpents, and wise as serpents, and harmless like doves. Listen to Proverbs 8, verse 11. For wisdom is better than riches. Wisdom is better than riches, and all that one may desire cannot compare with her. Now, wisdom is a metaphor, and it's often a metaphor like a woman, okay? And that's in Proverbs 8, verse 11. Listen to this. Those who hope in the eternal will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. I had mentioned that a little earlier, but here it is, Isaiah 40 and verse 11. They will soar on wings like eagles. But even here you have a metaphor. They must soar on wings. No, like eagles is a simile, but soar, and that's a metaphor. It's not literally we're going to soar on wings. We're not literally going to do that. It's a metaphor. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So again, metaphor. Do you actually think that if those who hope in the eternal can just keep walking and never get tired, they can run and not grow weary? You can't take that literally. Go try it. See if you can run and not grow weary. It means you will run in the God's way. You will do the proper thing in God's way. Okay? They will soar like eagles running. James chapter 4, verse 14. You do not know when, what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? Now here comes a metaphor or a simile. Your life is a mist that appears for a short time. It's a metaphor. Your life is a mist. Squirt a mist into the sunlight. It appears for a short time and then vanishes. That's what your life is, but it's a metaphor. It's not really that, but it's very temporary. And the older you get, the more temporary you realize. I mean, all these years have gone by. All these years, you know. I mean, here's our wonderful friend, Mariana. She's 97. And we're talking about all the years that have passed. Yes, we're both always kind of amazed at how all these years passed. I've known her for a long, long time. Here's one that you do not take literally. It's stated, but you have to recognize it's a metaphor. And it cannot be taken literally. Here's Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. Jesus, these are Jesus' words, okay? So you tell somebody, just go out, read the Bible, and do what it says. Well, I remember a woman in West Texas, she did exactly this. Here it is, Matthew 5, verse 29. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out. And throw it from you. Imagine ripping your eye and throwing it out. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into the Gehenna. That's called hell. It's translated hell in the New American Standard Version. And if your right, and this is verse 30, if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for the whole body to go into Gehenna, the lake, the fire. It's the lake of fire. Now, these are metaphors. Okay, it's not your right eye is a metaphor, and it's saying it makes you stumble. In other words, your eye doesn't do that. Your hand doesn't actually make you stumble. It's a metaphor for using you're doing the wrong thing. You're behaving in a wrong way. Your eye is making you stumble because you're lusting. It's lust. It's all coming from your brain. It's not your eye. It's not your hand. It's your brain. You cannot take this literally. People have taken it literally, and some people have either plucked out their eye. We had one person who chopped off her hand. Chopped it off. She was sincere. These are people, and I'm telling you, these are people who love God and love God's word, and they thought they were obeying God when they did what they did. But they weren't obeying God. They didn't know that they're not supposed to take that literally. And a little bit of reasoning would tell them that just because you cut your hand off doesn't mean you won't lust for something else or want to steal or covet, as Paul said. You know, we talked about that last time. Coveting, when God said, thou shalt not covet, it brought up in me all kinds of coveting. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. Paul writes, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, as the serpent, here's a simile, deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Simplicity. Now, is it simple? Is the Bible simple? No, it's not. Not simple. It can be very difficult to understand and properly. You might have to go to Greek words. You might have to understand something else. You might have to check it in several translations. You might have to do several things. The word simplicity here is a Greek word, and the Arndt and Gingrich Greek lexicon says it this way. It says, it's pertaining to being straightforward. The simplicity, that Greek word, does not mean simple. It means you answer straightforward. You don't beat around the bush. In other words, you're above board. You're sincere. You're openly, you're openly not guileless. You're not trying to deceive anybody. You ever see people that are on the stand or they're a thing and they're being questioned and all of a sudden they go this way and they go, you realize you're getting the runaround. They're not answering directly. They don't want to say anything directly because that will get them in trouble. So they give you the runaround constantly. Well, Jesus, it's the simplicity and purity. You're getting away from the simplicity and purity of Christ, of devotion to him. That's the New American Standard puts the word devotion. It's not really in the scriptures. The simplicity of Christ is God, of the way Christ is straightforward, sincere, that gets attention properly. You know, it's the straightforward verbal expression, a short word. It means something brief. You don't beat around the bush. You just say, yes, that's true, or no, that's not so, or then, you know, you don't do it. You put it succinctly. It has to be bluntly, frankly. It means not obliquely, not, you're not oblique with it. It's blunt. You're straightforward. And you, in politics, of course, you don't. Most politicians are devious. Okay, they're oblique. Oblique means you're kind of going this way. You're not straightforward. Why do they do that? Because the press will, if you're straightforward, often crucify you. So you want to make sure you can get out of it this way, get out of it that way. Well, I said it this way, but I meant this, and you know. So here's a straightforward statement by Jesus. In Matthew, in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you. Straightforward. That you love one another. Straightforward. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That's pretty straightforward. That's pretty straight. And then he says, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. You'll be one of my disciples if you love one another, if you have love one for another. So that's John chapter 13. There can hardly be anything that is more straightforward, more uncomplicated. If you're going to do this, it's uncomplicated. It doesn't require a lot of big study. You don't have to go into a lot of Greek words. You don't have to do a lot of stuff. It's straightforward, okay? Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus says. And what did Jesus, how was Jesus' love? Jesus' love for us was uncomplicated. He gave his life for us. And Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that you, a person laid down his life for his friends. So really, when you get boil Christianity down to that new commandment, we love one another, okay? They got, however, they got to following men. They got it. They started, okay? They had their champions. Everybody has a champion. Let's follow this man. Let's follow that man. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to read this with me. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants. Now notice the metaphors, men of flesh, infants. I couldn't speak to you as spiritual, as or like a spiritual man, but I have to speak to you men of flesh. And flesh Paul uses for the lower nature. And as infants, you're just babies. You don't know anything. Babies don't know much. I gave you milk to drink. Again, did he actually give them milk? He meant not solid food. He says, I gave you milk. This is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 2. Not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. You can't have solid food. Indeed, even now you are not able, for you are still fleshly, meaning you're still following the lower parts of your nature. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking as like mere men? You're not following spiritual things. You're just acting like just a regular man. For when one says, and he's going to tell you why you're spirit, when one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? So they're saying, now some translations say when somebody says, I belong to Paul, somebody else says, I belong to Apollos. That's from the Christian Standard Bible. Here it is from the New International Bible. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? And here it is in the New American Standard Bible. When someone says, I belong to Paul, and another says, I belong to Apollos. So I am of Paul means I belong to that guy. I'm dedicated to him. I follow him. Are you not fleshly? Are you not like, but who is Paul? Who is Apollos, Paul says? They are servants. Ministers, servants, through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. They're not great. They're not that. They're not somebody you have to. Oh my! I have to follow them. They're so great. No. I planted, Paul says. Apollos watered, but God was the one causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. What are some ministers? What are ministers? They should be servants through whom you have believed. Servants. They're here to bring you the word of God, not somebody that you've got, oh, I got a bow, a scrape. I belong to him. I belong to her. I belong. I'm of Paul. No. No. And when you do that, you're like walking like mere men who have never been converted. We have to avoid that. We'll talk about more about the directness, the simplicity, the straight, the some of the things that are very simple to do in the Bible. You read them right. You know what they are, and we'll talk about that next time. Join me today as we end the service with prayer. Father in heaven, thank you. We pray, Father, for the people that are suffering. We pray for Chris Melidi, whose Parkinson's disease are causing her lots of pain. We pray for Bob Phelps, who is facing serious, serious issues in his last days. So we're asking, Father, that you might give him more, but it's up to you. They are grateful for the time they've had. Mary is very grateful. She stood by her wonderful husband all these times and helped him through all this problem. And we're asking, Father, that you will also be merciful to everyone. And we ask for our sister in Christ who broke her hip. Please help her and strengthen her during this time to repair that hip. It's a serious, serious situation. So we give you thanks. We do know that you hear the prayers for every one of your brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters, and we know how important it is to feel loved and cared for in the family of God. And we give you thanks now, Father, for everything through Jesus our Lord, and ask your dismissal, and ask that you will bless our day and help us to walk the right way in a metaphor of light and avoiding the metaphor of darkness. And we give you thanks now through Jesus our Lord. And in his name we pray. Amen.